What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode number 73. We have questions. You have questions. I have answers. And then I have a bunch of other nonsense I'm going to spit at you today. Brandy?
Yes. First, we have Ben Olin. Ben is getting married in 6 weeks. Congratulations, Ben. He says, what should my training look like to get as ripped as possible? And he's going to use 3 weeks to Shredded as the meal plan.
So, Ben, congratulations. Good for you. You finally found a girl to marry.
Finally.
Three weeks to Shredded. I love it. What I would do with 3 weeks to Shredded, I would take 3 weeks to Shredded, and I would do each week double time. So week one and 3 weeks to Shredded, I would do for 2 weeks, and week two, I would do for 2 weeks, and back my way in that way. Easier transition, I think, and you'll peak out really nice at the end. What type of training should you do? High-intensity training, high-intensity resistance training would be best. You want full, round, sharp, crisp muscles, and you want that body fat skin to really shrink wrap. High-intensity resistance, whether it be, three sets of eight reps of eight different exercises back to back. Maybe you're on a circuit, or maybe you do a 5x5 program, which is, five sets of five reps, five different exercises, core exercises throughout the week, and two or three supplemental exercises behind them. And those are great, simple, easy programs. Just train big compound movements and train smart. Train at about 80% of your maximum, whether that be in resistance or in, cardiovascular output.
Neil Jones says, hi, Mike. What do you use as a post-workout shake? After MMA, I can't stomach food as I'm in fight camp and training flat out. Keep up the good work. That sounds bad.
Yeah. So you shouldn't be in a constant state of that. You should... maybe once a week or so, you have a really hard workout and your stomach's a little upset. You can't, get anything down for 15 to 45 minutes or so, then it should subside. If it doesn't subside, you got some other issues going on there that you might want to look into. As far as what do I like, we make a smoothie. All of our post-workout nutrition is natural, and we have a different smoothie combinations, and, that's what we use. So it's a fruit and greens and vegetable smoothie primarily.
So I got these new Sharpie pens.
Yeah.
At Sam's Club.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Awesome.
I'm like writing and doodling, and each function looks fantastic. Look at my heart that I just drew here.
It is the perfect heart.
I know. Okay, moving on. Zach Collette says, I'm a 30-year-old CrossFitter, college student, and father. I commute to school 1 hour. I have all of your books. What is the best way to keep my body fueled for the 8 to 12 hours I'm at school? Meals and snack ideas would be great. Keep kicking ass, you two. Boom.
So if you have all of our books, I'm assuming you have the college diet guide, which answers every question that you just had. So if you don't have the college diet guide, you can find it pretty easily. What you can do immediately is carry little Ziploc bags of quarter cup of cashews and a quarter cup of raisins, or a quarter cup of almonds and a quarter cup of dried blueberries or coconut chips or something along those lines. Make little trail mixes. And I'll have those in my back pocket. I'll have one in each back pocket when I'm out and about and doing things throughout the day or traveling specifically. So I know I always have a sustainable fuel source. One of those little bags, that'll buy me 2 hours if I'm not really pushing a hard pace. 2 hours of kind of, in neutral. And water. Make sure you always have water with you, which is extremely important. And then eat properly. Make sure you have a good solid meal before you go, and you have a good nutrition cycle. And you're exercising, which will help moderate your metabolism.
Brian Ramos says, hey, sir, Mike, you are a good man.
Wrong.
Says, I have a question regarding doing interval training first thing in the morning. When you wake up in the first 30 minutes without breakfast, I have read that doing this is super effective to burning fat, but I've also read that doing this is super, that you should have some quick protein to prevent muscle loss.
Yeah. And I've read all that stuff too. And I hear people just scream. It's like South Park. And they yell. They decide. They swear.
They have pitchforks.
Yeah.
And torches.
That you don't understand. But it's all, you know, it's all hogwash, I think. And it comes down to common sense and what actually works. Now, the harder you train, the harder it is to train, right? So you need more fuel. You need more resources. You can't get up every morning on an empty stomach and just go flat out, balls out, and then, you know, crawl your way back home and then start, you know, try to repair your body from there. What you can do is you can go out, you can work at a moderate intensity. And that's what I prefer to do. So in a fasted state, you can train at a moderate intensity. If I'm going to have my harder, my higher intensity workouts, well, I'm going to put them two meals into my day, two meals into my lifestyle at least. So I'm going to make sure I have my metabolism moving. I have the proper nutrients I need. I have, you know, the proper activation of those muscle cells and preparation in order to truly function at 100% at that higher intensity training session. Because to truly perform a high intensity session means you're bringing your A game. Not you're just going to wake up and go balls out till you drop. That's not my style of training. So moderate intensity, longer duration in a fasted state, I think that's an excellent way to burn body fat for a short period of time. You can also throw in a fasted state high intensity workout once every 7, 10, 30 days just to shock your system, change it up a little bit. And that's what I've found great experience with that exact type of program.
What are your thoughts on grass-fed butter? Says Mo Houston.
Mo, grass-fed.
I can't believe it's grass-fed butter.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, that was dumb. That was super dumb. Anyway,
that was funny. It took me a while to get it.
What are our thoughts on grass-fed butter?
That would be the best form of butter if you're going to use butter.
I like butter.
Yeah. I mean, we have it here in the house, grass-fed butter. So, I mean, that's as close to wild as you can absolutely get. That's where we're always trying to go. So it does fit within our principles. Now, I'm not a huge dairy fan based on digestive issues, but those issues are much, much lower with the butters instead of the milks and the creams. So there. So I'll have it maybe a few times a month, though. Brandy will have it probably a few times a week.
A few times a day. Stephanie Dodge. Stephanie, Nurse Stephanie says, hey, Mike and Brandy, any specific foods to help relieve DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness?
Any foods? Well, the foods in particular would be the same foods you should be eating, which is just a high variety of earth-grown nutrients, of real foods that are in season, that are local, that are fresh, as close to raw as possible. So you should be having those in great moderation every 2 to 4 hours.
Is there any truth to potassium helping?
There's so many other factors, so many other issues, so many other things going on that your potassium balance doesn't really have a lot to do with not feeling what you feel during DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. And that really comes 24 to 48 hours after a proper workout. That's what you should be feeling to know that your body is now repairing the damage that you did. So it's a signal of damage. It's a side effect of damage, damage that you intended to inflict upon yourself to grow bigger, stronger, better, faster, leaner, tighter toner, all the good things. That's a good sign. But man, it's debilitating sometimes. Like some days I'll wake up and before my eyes even open, I'll be like, fuck. It's going to be one of those days. And I just kind of picture whatever staircase I'm going to have to go up. That
was you the other day.
That was, yeah, me the other day. That's right. I was down in Southern California teaching the UFC Fit certification course to the gym owners and instructors for UFC Fit gyms around the world. And, it was a master class with master trainers, and it was hard freaking core. And it was my job to put them through a 1 hour UFC Fit workout, and it was balls out. And I came home, and then it was 5 hours of seminar of teaching on top of that. And then, you know, cramming onto a Southwest flight, flying home.
Yeah.
And everything was hunky dory.
And then the next day.
The next day, not so bad waking up. As the day went on, it was God darn.
All I hear is, oh. So if you felt that way, imagine what the instructors felt like who aren't used to maybe that type of workout or those specific moves.
Yeah, I've gotten some emails already. They're all thanking me for their soreness.
Thanking you and cursing you, I'm sure.
Everybody, they love to hate me.
They love to hate you. That's true.
So what you do is you try and prevent the soreness as much as possible by cooling down, by stretching, by using a hot tub, sauna, ice bath, massage, foam roller for sure. You certainly want to roll out. That will do wonders to offsetting much of the pain, minimizing much of that pain and soreness and limited range of motion. From those good solid workouts. And I know, Stephanie, that you're doing UFC Fit. So that's how you should be feeling. You should be sore and tight. And, ooh, darn new Dolce.
But, she's also a good writer. Stephanie, write something.
Write something.
We'll post it.
Anyway, moving on.
Jay Shield says, well, what's a good general program for leaning out coming out of a powerlifting phase? Got a little too carried away with getting strong and need to strip off some weight as well as get my wind back. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Do UFC Fit, man. That's the honest answer. And that's exactly what it's written for. It's written for somebody that's 20, 40, 60 pounds overweight that doesn't have the cardiovascular capacity, doesn't have the range of motion, doesn't have the full body control of body weight motions, doesn't have the energy maybe to get through that style of workout. And it's built in a periodized training program. I'm a former powerlifter. So you know I know how to periodize. I know how to peak. And a lot of the science I learned as a powerlifter is in UFC Fit. It's a 12-week periodization program. 4 3-week cycles, and we build you all the way into the end using lots of body weight motions that increase range of motion, flexibility, coordination, but also burn body fat and increase cardiovascular output, respiratory output. So it's perfect for you. And we do a lot of prehab style exercises around the shoulder complex, around the hip complex, around the knees, ankles. I mean, we hit all the areas. I'm thinking as a coach also, prehab, I'm trying to build the infrastructure, not just make you sexy on the outside. I'm building your body from at a skeletal level all the way out with many of these motions that we use in UFC Fit. So it's awesome.
Andy Munt says, the final 24 hours of a weight cut. When do you stop drinking water? How many sessions? And for how long do you sit in the hot tub? Any worries your body will absorb the water by sitting in it?
Do you think he wrote the question the way you just read it?
What, with that awesome inflection?
With the...
In expression?
In expression. So what was the question?
Seriously?
I was distracted by the inflection.
All right, let me dazzle you once more. Andy Munt says, you're such a jerk. Oh, my God.
He says, so when do we stop drinking water during a weight cut?
I guess if you want to say it like that, yeah. Yeah, he wants to know when to stop drinking water.
We try and drink water as close to the scale as possible, and that depends how well you sweat. How easy is it for you to sweat and how much do you sweat for a certain period of time? So all these things have to be taken into consideration to determine when your water does start to slow down, your intake starts to slow down. But we consume as much water as possible during fight week, as close to the scale as possible. It's not irregular for my athletes to drink 2 gallons, 3 gallons of water a day, purified water, not distilled water, not that garbage, purified water per day during fight week, all the way up to the scale. They're super hydrated, which hopefully is appreciated. I know it's appreciated.
Oh, and the body doesn't absorb water by sitting in it.
No, and that's another misconception. I've had a doctor try and say that, you can't have the athlete, put the athlete in the 180 degree sauna to lose weight, not in the room temperature, not in the traditional hot tub, 105 degree hot tub, because he could gain water, absorb water from the water. I'm sorry. I'm thinking back. I'm laughing about this. So it's a misconception. I've spent God knows how many hundreds of hours, thousands of hours. I don't even know anymore how many hours I've been doing this. I've never, ever, 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 never, ever,
ever
seen anybody gain point anything through absorption, external absorption. If they drink it, then they'll gain it. But that's it, the end of story. Now, though this might happen in a microscopic level, possibly maybe in a petri dish in a lab somewhere, it has never, ever, 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 ever happened in my witness, in my experience.
Ever. So that would be a no.
So why torture yourself and cook yourself in that 180 degree cedar box, that oven, wood fire grill? Why do that instead of just hang out with everybody else? With little kids can get in there and little kids can stay in there. Why would you go deeper and harder than that? So I know I get a little slanted on this topic, but I want you to understand. Don't cook yourself. Don't listen to this BS, and don't listen to a lot of those noobs out there that pretend they know what they're talking about because they read an article somewhere. You know, this is it.
Let's see here. David Henry wants to know. He loves the show. He has both Living Lean and the cookbook, but his question is, what do you eat with the likes of champion chili or sumo stir fry? Do you have it with a portion of rice or just a salad? Help.
Yeah, we always have greens. There's greens everywhere. But quinoa is a great partner to the champion chili, where we'll make a pot of quinoa. We'll put that as the base on the bottom of the bowl. We'll pour the chili on top of that. Ooh, it's delicious. Same thing with the skinny sumo stir fry. Yeah, it's a great mix. Quinoa mixes with everything. I have quinoa with my eggs. I have it with lunches. I have it, you know, in mixes. I make a rice pudding. You know, people out there that know what rice pudding is, we make that with a quinoa, and it's absolutely amazing. Quinoa, raisins, and a little pinch of cinnamon, and that's it. I mean, it is awesome.
I think that's in the cookbook.
I think it is in the cookbook.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. There's like 130 plus recipes in there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty positive that's in there.
When in doubt, use quinoa. It replaces pastas. It replaces rice. It replaces potatoes. It replaces breads. I mean, quinoa goes with everything. It adds bulk. It adds flavor. If you know how to cook it. I had somebody tell me recently, who was it? I don't want to name names, but somebody that you would know was like, oh, you know, I can't make quinoa. Man, that stuff tastes disgusting.
How did, what? What'd you do to it?
Yeah. He's got a Diet Coke in front of him, of course.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, you don't blame the recipe. You blame the cook. You know, how do you make quinoa? I'm going to tell you guys how to make quinoa right now. And this is what makes it so funny. So you take two parts water, one part quinoa. That means 2 cups water, 1 cup of quinoa. You add it to a pot, bring it to a boil. Once it starts to boil, once you see the bubbles, you put it immediately on low, as the lowest setting possible, and you cover it for 15 minutes. You set your little alarm clock on your little Mickey Mouse watch. And 15 minutes later, it beeps. You take off the top, and it's perfectly fluffy, ready to go. And then it takes on the flavor of whatever you give to it, whatever you put on it. Quinoa. And it's like, just fucking eat quinoa, guys.
Quinoa. It's what's for dinner.
It's, yeah. Eat it.
Eat it. You'll like it.
Quinoa. You eat it.
You'll like it. Simon Hinkle says, how would you cut weight effectively if you had to fight the same day about 6 to 8 hours later?
And I deal with a lot of athletes that do this. I deal with a lot of wrestlers. Man, they get off the scale, and, you know, within 2 hours, they're out there, you know, wrestling their ass off at a very, very high level. Jiu-jitsu competitors, grapplers, I work with lots of grapplers, same thing. You know, they have to weigh in with their gi on sometimes, which can weigh 2, 4, 6 pounds, step off the scale and step right onto the mat and go. So what the answer is, you need to compete at a weight very close to what you train at. So if you're competing same day, it's a different weight class oftentimes than if you were getting the 24 to 36 hour window post weigh-in to competition. So whatever you're weighing about 3 weeks beforehand, that should be pretty close, within 5-10 pounds if you're one of the bigger dudes out there, 5-10 pounds at most of your weight class of what you're going to weigh in at. You know, you should be eating breakfast that morning. I mean, because that's competition day. That's competition day. So you have to do everything in your best interest to compete at your absolute best, at your absolute healthiest state. And cutting that additional 6, 8, 12, 17 pounds, that's just going to put you in a bad way and open you up to many, much more severe injury, especially head injury from over dehydration that you certainly don't want to deal with.
Jordan Baca asks, how do you choose the right weight class?
Is that Choose Brother?
Who?
Is that Choose Brother?
Yes. Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
You're so, oh my God. Jordan Baca says, well, don't mess with this person. How do you choose the right weight class for your body for sports like weightlifting? Yeah, that is a good question. What weight class would I be in, Mike?
What would you be in?
Yeah.
You'd probably be between a 115 and a 125. So it depends on what we would have to do.
Okay.
So we'd have to add a little more muscle or not lean you out, but shred you down a little bit more, depending. And then it depends on your lifts and leverage points, which will be another thing. So what's your perfect weight class? It really depends on many factors, and that takes an evaluation. I want to see an athlete. Leverage points are huge. I know some athletes that could compete, you know, at a very lightweight. I think Wade Cooper, powerlifter, on a little powerlifting tip today, was a powerlifter. And I forget what he weighed, but he was a light guy, super, super light guy, skinny guy. And, man, he could fucking squat. I think it was triple body weight. We'll look that up. Can you look that up? Wade Cooper, squat records.
Let me get on that.
Get on that. So leverage points matter a lot. You know, what's your right weight class? It wouldn't be maybe good for him to add 10 pounds to move up a weight class. That might change his leverage points. Although most people think the bigger I get, the stronger I get. That sometimes isn't true. And also leanness. What's your body fat percentage? I think, you know, for combat athletes should be competing right around 7% body fat. So if you're competing in mixed martial arts or wrestling or jiu-jitsu or boxing or anything like that, should be right around 7% body fat. So at 7%, what do you weigh? How close are you to the nearest weight class above and below? And that's how you determine, you know, what's the right weight class.
Is his first name Ronald?
I don't know.
I can't find it. I'm failing.
It's okay.
Okay, thanks.
No big deal.
Thanks.
I'm past it.
Okay, me too. What are your thoughts on spreading peanut butter on organic gluten-free rice cakes as a snack? Adil Iqbal.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, for sure. Enjoy.
Neil Smith says, you've worked with the elite in MMA. What are some of your favorite stories from training camps?
Favorite stories from training camps?
1, 2, 3, go.
Ooh, driving down the freeway in Miami with Thiago Alves in his black Maserati. Seeing like the skyline of Miami in the background. That's a pretty cool moment. Thiago and I are close friends. What else? Dwayne Ludwig, you know, cutting weight with Dwayne Ludwig for that Jim Miller fight, the 42-pound weight cut.
That's your favorite? One of your favorite stories?
We had so much fun because we knew how ridiculous it was. You know, Dwayne is just such an awesome dude. And, he, you know, he's the one cutting all this weight. And it was fun. It was a fun time. You know, he kept it fun. He kept his sense of humor the entire time. And I just remember laughing. I remember a lot of laughter during the meat of the weight cut of weighing, you know, and Dwayne looking like a zombie.
What about the first thing in the first chapter of Living Lean with Vitor in the bathtub?
With Vitor in the bathtub, yeah. That was such a special moment.
That's first time
I'm cutting weight with Vitor, and I'm in his room, and he's cut weight, and everything is perfect. And he had some trouble making weight in years prior. The fight previously, he had an issue making catch weight of 195 against Rich Franklin for that fight they had over there in Germany. Vitor went on to win that fight, but still the weight cut, you know, he said almost killed him. So they bring me in to oversee, and he's dropping down to 185 and made weight easily. So a bunch of different ways, very spiritual moment. So I touch on it in the beginning of Living Lean. That's actually the way we open the book. And his house was just packed with people. It was like a revival, like a religious revival in Vitor's house while he's cutting weight. And he had a priest in there who was saying, you know, prayers and blessings in Portuguese. And I'm like, you know, sitting on the toilet, the closed toilet in Vitor's master bedroom, and over the sound system is just like the most beautiful music. It was crazy, you know, crazy experience. And a special moment, you know, certainly a very special moment, because it was, you know, for those inside the game, inside the industry, you know, when you see athletes cutting weight, specifically when they're cutting weight the wrong way, it's torture. I mean, they're torturing themselves in front of you, you know, for weeks and for months. Just the anxiety and the pain and the deprivation is such a high level. It's so emotional. So in this instance, it was a party. I mean, it was just, you know, a great experience.
That's nice.
Yeah, I got tons of stories.
I know.
My story's got stories.
My story's got stories. That's funny.
We should do a segment on the show every day. I should tell, you know, one story.
Come on, children, gather around. It's story time.
It's story time.
Let's see. Jenny Lampy says, what are your thoughts on training barefoot and in good shoes? What types of shoes do you recommend for programs like UFC Fit?
So training barefoot is typically on any competition surface when it comes to the martial arts. And that's from, you know, jiu-jitsu and striking and, you know, things such as that. Now, more the Western side, let's say the boxing and the wrestling, typically you wear wrestling shoes, you wear boxing shoes in traditional westernized boxing. For UFC Fit, it depends on the surface you're training on. I typically train barefoot on my octagon mat. We have a UFC Fit octagon mat, which is awesome. Kills the yoga mat because it's in a true octagon shape. So now you can do all sorts of moves that you don't fall off the mat, which is why we constructed it and have it available.
I like it because there's room for Zoe on it. Yeah. Zoe likes to crawl on there.
Your 70-pound pitbull will fit on it while you work out. Sleeping. But you know, some people prefer to wear, if your feet are a little tender, I'm used to training. I've been training my whole life, you know, barefoot and whatnot. So my feet are a little more adept at callusing and not getting torn up, you know, by the barefoot stuff. So you might wear soft shoes, you know, thin-soled shoes if you're going to be training.
For UFC, for me personally, yeah. I like to wear sneakers for UFC Fit because it gives me more posting power for certain exercises.
Butt kick and traction.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, I have huge feet. I do. I have huge feet. So
better to kick you in the face with.
So they help me. I have extra superpowers through my huge feet.
Yeah. What about your hitch kick?
My hitch kick is badass.
Yeah. It's funny. So Brandy, of course, does UFC Fit. And we're in the kitchen cooking, or she's probably cooking, and I'm trying to, like, help cook. And she's like, oh, it does, like, the UFC Fit hitch kick, which is like a rear lunge to a flying knee to an opposite foot switch kick to the face, lands, and does the twisting knee drive elbow.
I feel so powerful.
Yeah. And it was all perfectly done from, you know, for the UFC Fit, you know, strength and conditioning purposes. But the precision of attack, I was like, holy shit.
I remember that.
Yeah. I just walked out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Don't try to mix my food.
But I saw in you what we accomplished with UFC Fit. I was a proud coach at that moment also.
You should be, because me, I'm not athletic. I'm not Miss Fitness. You know, I like to sit and in the dark with a candle and write my little stories. I'm an office type person. So for me to be able to, like, pull something, you know, like that is, it's significant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And funny.
I'm glad I can entertain you, honey.
Yeah, that was awesome. Anything else? Any other stories?
No. Any other stories? No. Let's save our story.
Story time on the Mike Dolce Show. All right, guys. Good stuff here. We have anything coming up? You know, we have the athletes here. We have the World MMA Awards. If you're not voting, if you haven't voted, you better vote. Please vote. I'm nominated for the 2013 Trainer of the Year at WorldMMAAwards.com. And Coach Dwayne Bang Ludwig is up for Coach of the Year. Also, Vitor Belfort for Fighter of the Year and Ronda Rousey for Female Fighter of the Year. Gilbert Melendez for Fight of the Year in his victory versus Diego Sanchez. So the Dolce Diet is well represented at the 2013 World MMA Awards. Check it out. We all appreciate it, guys.
And then your seminar you have.
Oh, that's right. London, UK, February 9th at Westminster College. Mike Dolce, the Dolce Diet.
That's going to be super fun.
I'm pumped up because the UK, you guys, I mean, we stay in contact, of course. You see it on here. But I haven't been there in a while. And then a lot of you guys have been asking, when are you going to be here to do a training deal, a training demo, or a seminar, or something like that? Finally, I'm going to be there February 9th, Westminster College in London. And book your spaces now through Luke Barnett, tough 17 veteran, UFC. UFC veteran, undefeated in the UFC.
Yeah, he's undefeated.
My man, Luke Barnett, boom, the gangster. The UK gangster, the English gangster.
I don't know, honey. I don't know.
He's got so many nicknames. Big Slow. You know him as Big Slow.
I know he says vitamins.
Vitamins. So lbarnett@googlemail.com. That's the way to get in touch with it. We're going to post something on our Facebook here.
Yes.
So you'll be seeing that in a couple of days, the official flyer for it. And anything else? UFC Fit, guys, it is blowing off the shelves right now. The United States, Australia, Canada, UFC Fit. It's here, everybody. You've been asking for it. Now you got it. You give me 12 weeks, I will get you in the best shape of your life and give you the tools necessary to keep on going, to keep growing, keep evolving, to live that UFC Fit lifestyle that we're doing here. You see my athletes doing it. Now you can join the party. UFCFit.com. I'm pumped up. I'm excited today. And it's only Monday. I jump out of bed on Mondays.
He does.
I do. Boom. Let's go. What are we doing? Let's do it. All right, guys. Good stuff. And remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom.
The Mike LJ Show. Pussycat.